I passed one of the guys, you know, that was screaming away the other day that I was talking about. They were causing all that ruckus with me. Anyway, I passed one of the guys again today, and he wouldn't even look at me. Wouldn't turn at all, just kind of looked down and away. And that was pretty hard to avoid me because I was going right past him. But he wouldn't make eye contact or any contact, period. So, definitely, you know, my guess is as good as yours about what's going on. Bottom line, though, is it caused me to think about something else. And basically, the world in itself. One of my books, I said that love protects you from the violence. And I believe that. But at the same token, I think, you know, we have to take a statement like that with a grain of salt, because radiating love, sending love, does take a little bit of practice. And we don't really have a whole lot of knowledge about it either. You know, it's not like we have enough information to really start, a school or anything really with it. It's still in the learning stage. Maybe it always will be in the learning stage. But what I'm saying, there's just not enough information yet on how, you know, how to work with it exactly, and how all the differences. I'm still working out all the little details. And look at all the stuff I come across with creating and all the little details with that. Well, sending love, it's the same thing. So I think there's more to be learned yet before we're actually at that point. Not that it won't do that, and I believe it does even right from the start. But before I would walk through a minefield, I think I'd want a little more practice. Or before I purposely walk through a minefield, I'd want a little more practice. Of course, if I had to walk through a minefield and I had no choice, well, then I think that radiating love would probably be not a bad idea regardless. But you know what I'm trying to say. I think I know what I'm trying to say. The point I'm trying to make is that the world itself is actually a violent world, and it's based on violence. And people sometimes go, well, it doesn't need to be. Well, sure, explain that to the cow that's just got her throat cut for the McDonald's burger. Yeah, or how about the lettuce you just ripped out of the ground and cut its head off in order to eat that? And you go, well, lettuce doesn't feel anything, doesn't that? Well, there's a lot of scientific evidence in contrary to that. But that's not even, we don't even need to make that point. That lettuce in itself kills a couple of people every year throughout the world. Because we know that the chemicals we use to protect that lettuce, head of lettuce in the field, kills mice and ants and all kinds of bugs and butterflies and birds every time we spray that out there. But throughout the world, there's a very small percentage of people that are actually highly allergic to those chemicals we spray on our lettuce. And lettuce just is one. It could be carrots, it can be whatever. They're out there eating that lettuce, thinking that lettuce is actually good for you, when it's actually killing them. Scientifically wise, we know that there's a small percentage, and it's a very small percentage, and on the science level and on the level of the people that produce the herbicides, they say, well, it's such a small percentage that it outweighs, the benefit outweighs the negative. Well, sure, you could say that, but try saying that to the person who is dying or extremely sick and nobody can figure out why, or has gotten cancer and nobody can figure out why. Right? Because they're one of them very small percentage who are highly allergic to that, those chemicals. But, you know, there doesn't have to be, there's not the scientific evidence out there to be able to prove yet that that's the reason for the illness. And you'd have a tough time proving it. And if you did, they would throw all kinds of scientific paper at you saying, we don't think it's this way. I think the test results are not right. In the meantime, you're toast. So, even the very thing that's designed to protect the lettuce will eventually kill someone. What the point of this is, or even a child, somewhere in the world, what the point of this is, almost everything we do involves some sort of violence. We walk in the woods. I walked in the woods and did my last recording, and I happened to look down and I saw the ants running around. And I don't know how many I've killed of them little guys just walking along, but probably hundreds of them. See, so almost everything we do creates some kind of a death or an end result for something, even sometimes ourselves, without even knowing it, unintentionally. So, what does that mean in a sense? And if more and more people started radiating and sending love and working with that on a conscious level every day, how does that begin to change the world? I had a conversation about that with my future self, the one I talk about in my first book. The world will change drastically, right from the fundamental bottom end of it, right from the atom up to the highest on the food chain. He said, the changes, some will be gradual, some will move very fast, and depending again on how many people and how much. But the change, he said, if you took 300 years and enough people actually send love, let's say the example, I'm trying to remember the example he used. The example he used that it got far enough that it was actually taught in schools. Now at that point it really escalated very quickly. The world changed so much in that probable world in 100 years that you could not tell it was the same planet. Everything changed. The people on it became more light-based rather than water-based, apparently. Now, I didn't see it, and I don't know exactly, you know, how, all the details. But I sort of ran it through my head, and I think you can do that yourself, just how much things would change. And how much resistance we would have to that change. But anyway, the point is very simple, is that we do have, in a sense, a violent world. Beautiful, but violence in itself. I mean, one thing eats another thing. Right up the food chain. It's better when you're at the very top of the food chain. Things look a lot better, a lot more peaceful, a lot safer when you're on the top of the food chain. But, you know, it wasn't always so in this planet's lifespan. There was people living when they weren't actually at the top of the food chain. So that wouldn't be all that much fun. You would look at things a whole lot differently. Just a thought. Nothing really to do with anything. Nothing you can do about anything if things are, in that sense, just the way they are. But it's just something to think about, I suppose. The possibilities. And why we would have maybe chose this world to come to. I suppose I would have had many choices, but I chose this place. Somebody a while back said something, you know, you came to help. And I didn't come to help. I'm just doing what I'm doing, and the coincidences that brought me to this came about from what I played with, the questions I asked, and the paths I took to find the answers. That's what brought me to this. After that, I made my own choices of what I would do with it. I don't have to write it in a book. I don't have to give this recording up and make it into written pages where people can read it. I don't have to do any of that. Whether it even does any good is questionable. Who knows for sure? Maybe from a different perspective, it will destroy a world that I loved just the way it was. I know that's a strange perspective, a strange thing to say maybe even, but we don't know because we're looking at it from our view. And from this angle, you know, things look totally different than what it would look like before we come here. I mean, just for the heck of it, just for playing with ideas, what if someone invented a machine where you could actually communicate with a tree, or I don't care what kind of plant, some kind of plant. In Russia, they did some experimenting years ago, and this information is freely available. But the fellow was quite ingenious. He managed to set up small electrodes on a tomato plant. So these electrodes measured the electrical field and the energy running through the leaves. Everything has electricity running through it, even an onion. You know, if you stick two electrodes in it, you will actually get electricity from an onion, a lemon, anything. So you could measure that energy. I don't know all the details anymore. Anyway, he took it one step further and actually managed to hook up little valves to that, where if the energy, let's say, level came to a certain level, then the valve would open and the plant would receive water. Well, the plant started to water themselves. That was what he was trying to do, see if the plant could actually water itself and decide when it needs water and how much water. Apparently, the thing was successful and it worked. Who knows? I mean, this is what I read, this is what I heard. I mean, who knows if this story is 100% true or not. But let's just, for the heck of it, say it's true. It's kind of a nifty thing, and it's probably worth believing if a person wants to. But let's just say for the heck of it's true. That means that plant has a certain amount of consciousness and can regulate how much water it wants. There's been also some other experiments related to that that are pretty amazing. They have been repeated in Canada, United States, Germany, France, and they definitely are true. So, I assume, because I choose to believe them. and that makes them true for me. So anyway, but I'm going to stick with this experiment. Well, that means you could then hook up some kind of device, if we got smart enough and worked it out. Let's say a device where we could kind of communicate with this plant. Okay, so now we have a level of communication where this plant can communicate with us. And let's just say for the heck of it, that's true. That's possible, right? And it's now happening. So scientists are working with it a little bit more every day. It gets more and more. Next thing you know, it's on a talk show. I mean, a plant can't totally talk as well as we can, but it can communicate quite well. And it says, you do not have the right to pick my fruit unless I say so. Well, we go, well, you know, somebody else says, I don't think so, you're a plant. Well, the next thing you know, some lawyer comes along and says, no, I'm the lawyer for this plant. I'm taking on its case. And next thing you know, all the tomato plants, they have lawyers. And they're suing your ass. So now what? Carrots come along and they get themselves some lawyers. Banana plants. You're in deep shit. You can see where I'm getting at. And if a plant can do that, maybe we can communicate with animals. Which causes enormous problem. Same thing goes with computers. You know, our computer's getting more and more sophisticated. When they come to the point where they... Because we're trying to build thinking computers that can think and learn. If this computer can learn, at what point will it be able to say no to you? And when it can say no to you and decide no means no, that means it can go on the internet and hire itself a lawyer. And then it becomes a legal issue of possession, slavery, and so forth. I built you, so you are mine. Well, maybe, maybe not. The lines start getting very blurred. Changes are coming. Big changes are coming. Don't you think? Big changes are coming.